I'm sure you're familiar with the Apostles' Creed, and if you are, then you will know that it is true of our Lord Jesus Christ that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, and so on. And I have no intention this morning to rewrite Christian orthodoxy, nor the Apostles' Creed. But I do want to point out to you that although he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, there was another player in that corrupt trial and that dreadful deed, none other than Herod. And this Herod is Herod Antipas. Pilate handed him over to Herod, and Herod did some despicable things. And so although Jesus was indeed conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, we're going to consider Herod this morning. We're not going to consider Herod because he has anything intrinsically to tell us or that we might learn from him. He made some dreadful mistakes in his life. I think we can learn from that. But we're going to remain focused on our Lord Jesus Christ. We make a lot of Judas Iscariot, rightly, and Pontius Pilate. Herod tends to escape our attention. Anyway, he's here centre page for us. We're going to consider Herod this morning. And one of the things we're going to consider is how did Herod ever get to a position that he did in verse 11? How did any man ever get to a position that we can read in verse 11? Herod with his soldiers treated him, that is Jesus. Herod with his soldiers treated Jesus with contempt and mocked him. What happened to a man who had privileges that he ever got to this? Here is a great warning to us all. We are a privileged people, all of us. We have a Bible in our own language, whether that's English, Scots, or Polish, or any other language. It's a privilege to have the Word of God. Herod had many privileges. Herod and Jesus. We need to be sure what's going on here. As one has rightly pointed out, this is not an account of Jesus before Herod. This is an account of Herod before Jesus. And you and I, and everyone else in the world, a great number of folk in Balkington who have no interest to be here this morning or anywhere else, whether they like it or not, we have this in common with Herod, that we all stand before Jesus. Right now, this morning, he sees us and he knows us. One day we will stand before him face to face. We've got a lot in common with Herod, and we need to make sure that we don't make the same mistakes as he made. The thrust of what I want us to see is that privilege is a great thing, but privilege doesn't save anyone. Privilege can be valued and grasped, but privileges can be disregarded and wasted. And sadly, for all the privileges that Herod had, he never realized his privileges, and he never came to believe and trust in Jesus. In the crucifixion account, indeed throughout the narratives, the gospel narratives, he's not a major player, but he does keep appearing. He's appeared long before now. And we're just going to trace his appearances and what we know of his life and his dealings with our Lord Jesus Christ. And in all of that, we're going to consider your life and mine and the privileges that we have. So Herod had privilege. I spoke earlier to the youngsters about the privilege of having a mum and dad who love Jesus. We speak to their children the Bible and its message. Herod had the privilege of having God's word, and he had the privilege of someone speak it to him and to apply it to him. Especially, but not only, John the Baptist. I'm sure many of you will be familiar with Herod's encounter with John the Baptist. Herod had an unlawful marriage, and John the Baptist pointed out his sin. And John the Baptist called him to change and to repent. Herod had a conscience. That troubling thing in our human nature. It reminds us of right and wrong. It reminds us of time and eternity. Herod had the privilege of hearing about Jesus. Indeed, as we find him in Luke 23, he meets him face to face. All of these privileges, you and I have. But having privileges is not enough. Privilege alone does not save. Firstly, Herod was a sinner. And I'm sure it's not news to you, but we have that in common with him. And he had the privilege of someone pointing out his sin and urging him to repent. So we're going to turn in our Bibles to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 6. Just for a little time, just to refresh our memories about John's involvement with Herod. Mark 6, we'll pick up at verse 14. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he's Elijah. Others said, he's a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he, as Herod, had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him, wanted to put him to death, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. Just a couple of things to point out here then. One is, Herod has a conscience. At this time, Mark 6, his conscience, whether it was tender or whether it was pricked, but he had a conscience. He knew that John was a righteous man. It troubled him. He had the privilege of John the Baptist telling him often, that is, he shouldn't be married to this woman. For John had been saying to Herod, that's not a one-off. He'd gone to him again and again and pointed out his sin. I wonder if you consider that a privilege. When someone tells you that you're a sinner, that your life is an offence to God, that's a great privilege, you know. The reality is we become Christians because someone tells us that what we are doing is sinful. And we need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Herod had that privilege. Many people don't think it's a privilege. Some of your friends will have told you they don't count it a privilege. Don't come judging my life. Who are you to tell me that I'm a sinner? They might not think it's a privilege. There was probably a day in your life when you didn't think it was a privilege either. But I tell you, it's the greatest privilege any man or woman can ever have, that someone tells us, frankly, I love you, but you're a sinner and you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Herod had that privilege. He had a conscience. Back in Mark 6, it's probably about 3 years before the events of Luke 23. I might just point out here, it's worthwhile in the New Testament to know your Herods. There are many Herods around in the New Testament. So the Herod of Mark 6 and the Herod of Luke 23 is Herod Antipas. That's not the Herod of Bethlehem's slaughter of the innocents. Neither is this Herod the Herod of Acts, Herod Agrippa. Make sure you know your Herods. So in Mark 6 we are told that Herod had heard about Jesus. It's another privilege. He'd had the privilege of John the Baptist tell him of his sin, and he had a conscience then. Maybe tender, perhaps not so tender, perhaps more troubled, but he had a conscience. And you will know from Mark 6 and you know from elsewhere that Herod had John the Baptist beheaded. Our Lord Jesus Christ said of John the Baptist that of those born of women there was none greater. John was strong, faithful in going to Herod. One has said that by being faithful, John kept his conscience and lost his head. And Herod took John's head and lost his own conscience. Sin is a terrible thing. And if our conscience continues to suppress and deny sin, and then there'll be a time when our conscience will be seared and hard, and there'll be a time there's no hope for us. Privilege alone cannot save. Well, we have many privileges. We do have a conscience. I wonder if your conscience troubles you. I'm sure you have not beheaded anyone, but you will have sinned, and you'll still sin, and perhaps your conscience still troubles you. Family relationships, work relationships, besetting sin that you give in to. And when challenged about his sin, Herod could have been changed, but he chose to continue to sin. Why is that? Because he loved darkness instead of light. You and I love darkness. That's why Jesus Christ came into the world. In John 3, Jesus says very plainly, the reason that men and women do not believe is because they prefer darkness. Left to ourselves, we would always choose sin. But Christ comes to challenge us to repent and believe. And maybe we're still sinning and we're persisting in sin, and it's against God's word and it's against your conscience. It's a privilege to have a tender, pricked conscience. Secondly, we've got God's word. the Bible. We've got the words read and preached, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, midweek as well. Many people don't think that's a privilege. Many people don't see that the coming together of God's people, fellowship in Christ, is a privilege, it's a blessing. It's not to be spurned, it's not to be treated lightly. We have privilege. Many brothers and sisters around the world have no such privilege to gather, no such privilege to have God's word read, opened, preached, explained. We need to value the privileges that we have. But even the privilege of gathering and of having God's word read and preached will not save us. We need to repent and believe. You and I have heard about Jesus. We have had the opportunity to meet him face to face by faith. Luke 23 is a dark, dark portion of God's word. It's a dark portion, of course, because it's there that we learn of the contempt that men held our Lord Jesus Christ in. It's a dark portion because we'll read shortly of his crucifixion. At the end of chapter 22, we saw that Jesus had nothing more to say to the chief priests and the scribes. We mentioned that at the time. The chief priests and the scribes. And they asked him, verse 67, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. If I ask you, you will not answer. I pointed out then, I remind you now, these are chief priests and scribes. They had privilege. They were custodians of the word of God. To them were the patriarchs, to them the oracles of God, to them the covenants. And they had great privilege, and they longed for a Messiah, and their Messiah came and stood in front of them, and they wasted their privileged position, and their conscience that was once tender, once pricked, was seared. And Jesus has nothing else to say to them. That's what happens to Herod. Chapter 23, verses 8 and 9, face to face, but it's too late. This is probably 3 years after John the Baptist has been to him and said, you need to repent, Herod. I don't care if you're a king or not, you need to repent. Your sin's an offence to God. Sin didn't go away when he beheaded John the Baptist. And Jesus has nothing else to say to him. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him. He was hoping to see some signs done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. Why do you think Jesus never answered Herod? Is it not because Herod had wasted all his privileges? His troubled conscience was now a seared conscience. What is required by God from someone who has beheaded a prophet of God? I mean, none of us are God. I'm not asking you to imagine that you're God. But what is expected by God from someone who's beheaded one of his prophets? One, as those born of women, there is none greater, Jesus said. This man's beheaded John the Baptist. Doesn't God expect at least, have mercy on me, a sinner? Herod's in front of God. Jesus is God in human flesh. Herod was Herod Antipas. Jesus had another name for him. Luke 13:31. You don't have to turn it up, you can read it. But Jesus said of Herod Antipas, "Go tell that fox." And Herod finally gets to meet Jesus, so he's happy. And Herod says to Jesus, gives a wee sign, "Gonna put on a wee performance, do a wee miracle for me. Come on, I'm Herod." So when he finally gets to meet Jesus, all he wants is a wee performance. He just wants Jesus to be his puppet. I wonder if we have that in common with Herod. Jesus, just my puppet. Just do my bidding, Lord, Lord. How's your conscience? It's a really common way to come as a common view. Jesus, Lord, perform for me now. Jesus is God. We come to him seeking mercy and forgiveness for all our sin. Herod did none of that. See, Herod thinks that he can treat Jesus with contempt, and that's appropriate, because Herod doesn't have a conscience anymore. He's not troubled by that. You know, if your conscience becomes hard and seared, then you can do the most despicable things and think, that's okay. And the reason why Herod can stand and treat Jesus Christ with contempt is because his conscience is gone. And he's wasted every privilege that he had. Let's be sure that we understand verse 9. So he, Herod, questioned him, that's Jesus, at some length, but he, Jesus, made no answer. I'm sure you're aware of the criminal's right to remain silent. And I'm sure you've seen, whether it's on TV programs or recordings of real interviews, where the suspect is asked many questions and replies, no comment. What is your name? No comment. Where do you live? No comment. All that. That's not what's happening here. Jesus doesn't reply, no comment. He says, nothing. Because Herod deserves nothing from him. Herod has spurned all his privilege, never once considered repentance. That's a great, great warning. We need to thank God for grace and mercy. To those who repent and believe, there is still grace, abundant grace, to forgive all our sins, and they are many. The righteous in Christ are privileged. The wicked are not so. And those who refuse to repent and continue to refuse, whose conscience once pricked is now seared, then grace runs out, friend. And that's a great warning to us. That if we are still troubled, and there are things that we need to do and put right, we need to do them. Jesus says nothing because all that Herod needs to know has been said to him. Herod has denied his own conscience to a point when his conscience doesn't even bother him. He can laugh at Jesus Christ. He can mock Jesus Christ. It doesn't bother him. His conscience is gone. He honestly believes that treating God with contempt is acceptable. Herod has denied God's word. He's ignored God's prophet. He's taken the head off John the Baptist. He was a man of many, many privileges, and he wasted them. And friends, you and I need to learn. He is a solemn warning to us all. We have privileges. Value them. The Word of God, value it. Read it while you have time. The preached word, the gathering of God's people, value it. The brother and sister who tells you that they have concerns about your walk, value the tender rebuke of a friend. And you young ones, pay attention when mum and dad open the Bible. Pay attention when mum and dad come to pray. All of us, pay attention when anyone speaks of our sin. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his church. All our privileges are many, but they won't save. If we use them, they will point us to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. If we ignore them, they will cause our conscience to be hard and dead. And like Herod, the day we meet Jesus, it will be too late. Let's be sure we value every privilege we have as believers, and let's be sure we use our privileges, keep our consciences tender, and never get to a point when Jesus has no more to say to us.